welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Well, welcome back, and it's now or never, as I can't emphasize enough, and we're going to cover some of that stuff today because it's Feedback Friday. Now, this is not going to be the last Feedback Friday, but this will be the last week of the ratification debates. Next week, we'll actually cover the ratification debates on Tuesday and Wednesday. Monday, because it's Labor Day, right? I think Labor Day is kind of one of those holidays, and I prefer to do live. So we will be doing kind of live Labor Day coverage because this is one of the holidays. I mean, it's 4th of July we missed. And really, you know, what we try to do is we try to actually provide you with a really, really good insight on the 4th of July. But we were covering the ratification debates this past time. And what we try to do, and actually because we did Feedback Friday prior to the 4th of July, we really tried to get you to take the time to go read the original draft by Thomas Jefferson for the Declaration of Independence. This gives you the context, the greater picture of, you know, the brilliance and the real problems that they were facing. The manipulation by the centralized government of Britain by making slavery black in America. The things that were done and the things that Jefferson called out were removed for political correctness. And so we've been killing ourselves over political. We're still trying to erase facts so that people don't understand the brilliance behind our constitutional republic and the brilliance in actually giving people individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And as a matter of fact, those two things, your liberty and your sovereignty, is in the crosshairs of the progressives today. We'll get into some of those things. But before we do, let me just kind of cover this. As we're wrapping up the ratification debates, and actually, as we started, well, I'll take a personal note. So I've for my health and the medical regimen that I was going on, I was taking some medication that kind of screwed my head up a little bit. And so I would be thinking about 20 different things. I was kind of suffering from Tourette's. It's just amazing that I could function and still actually communicate. But for the past several months, it's been, you know, very hectic, practically for a half a year. And so finally getting off that. And so I'm probably in the last throes of any residuals, but it's nice to be back. I'll just say that. It's nice to be back. So when I started the ratification debates, I started like I always do with the scale of liberty so that you have a good, clear context of the thinking that went into this Constitution. Some of the stuff that we try to do leading into it that we've not had a chance to do that we're going to try to sneak in now, between now and Constitution Day and after Constitution Day going into the Bill of Rights and so forth. And actually, when we usually kind of just marginalize over, we just recognize today's Bill of Rights Day, because when we do the Constitution, we do the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all the amendments. So there's going to be a lot of content coming up that we're going to actually reinvigorate, or we're going to bring back the Bill of Rights for the 21st century that I've written and that I've had some help with, you know, with some people identifying some things that need to be done. And so we're going to go through, you know, those issues that we've kind of popped up as we go through the Constitution. The things that we won't go through are those things that the federal government is doing so far outside the bounds that, I mean, it's not covered in the Constitution. So I could easily and, you know, obliquely bring that in and say, oh, well, let's look at energy. Let's look at education. And all those, and actually, I think the word education is in the Constitution, but it's not a power. Anyway, so we'll cover what is really tied within the Constitution, And then what we'll try to do is we'll try to do a wrap-up of all the things that weren't covered, and not necessarily going through all the petitions and everything else. What we want to do is we want to help you differentiate what's in the Constitution, what they're doing that is an absolute violation of the Constitution, and then all of these other things afterwards that aren't even in the Constitution that are absolute violations as well. So let's just kind of move forward. But actually, before we do, because I don't want to address, because people go, well, what do I have to say about the Biden's administration at this point? What I'm going to do is I'll probably address that on Monday, because it's more aligned with Monday than Feedback Friday, if you know what I'm saying. I will just say this, that at this point, Biden is basically, you know, through his address and through what he's been ranting and with Congress and everything else, what they're doing is they're proving to you that they have no respect for individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And he and his ilk and his, you know, assistants in Congress and the progressives in our government and bureaucrats, the progressive bureaucrats, they're all playing a very evil game. This is an extension of the January 6th Inquisition. It's all a part of the Inquisition and the packaging for the Inquisition. This is kind of helping. So there's a couple of reasons why he's doing this. And you have to understand that the election, he is scared death of not getting what he really needs for reinforcement. See, what he really needs is a mandate. And what I mean by that is he needs enough of Congress to flip over so that he has people that he can manipulate, or people, the progressives, because it's not like Biden is the man doing any manipulation. That guy is, you know, MIA. And so he may be out there, and there may be marionettes that are kind of pulling his strings and getting him to dance and you know, giving him some good moments to rant and so forth. But I'm telling you that they are packaging an inquisition to transition it into a crusade. If they get the mandate, I can't emphasize this enough. If they get a mandate, or if they are able to maintain control of Congress by voter fraud, and there's a good likelihood, folks, that they will. And I just say that because no, there's very few people that are out there chanting and demanding the support of the Constitution and telling you as a candidate, I will support the Constitution. This is why what we've been doing on this show, Reclaiming the Republic, is probably the quintessential, if not paramount. We're giving you the information and we're giving you the guidance that is paramount to taking this country back. Some of the problems we're facing is getting people like you and other good people to shift your paradigms and say, you know what? I may be making this, you know, salary here or doing this or doing that. I need to jump into the fray. It is now time to start planning, folks. It is now time to start planning. That's me pounding on the desk. It is this nice Timber Nation walnut desk. Anyway, it is time that we start planning and you start planning on doing petition drives and going after your county commissioners. I don't care if you want to go into the state legislature. If there's nobody, at this point in time, everything goes into the county commissioners. You can also petition your county, or I should say your legislators, your state legislators, but you need to focus your priorities on the county commissioners, your sheriff, and all the people within your county first. That your first 2 years, you do that. If you want to do some parallel work and so forth, that's fine. Especially if you get a real good movement going to where you can get people that will absolutely lead the charge on all of these positions if you need to. So here's the point. If you have public servants that are not abiding by the Constitution and they don't care to support the Constitution, then they all have to be in your sights and you have to pick them all off in the next election. That may be 2 years, it may be 4 years. So you got to start now. And the way we do that is by using petitions. We use a plethora, not just one. And this isn't personal. What this is it's to prove with, you know, without any doubt, to basically create the irrefutable argument that these people that are in office do not care about your rights. You need to take your home back. And anybody like Sheriff Mack that comes out and tells you, oh, well, you know, all you need is your sheriff. You know, what he's doing is he's giving you bad information and giving you a position that will not hold water. Because bottom line, your real sovereigns are your county commissioners. You do need your sheriff to abide as well, because, you know, every person has this thing called free will, right? They have the freedom to choose, as Milton Friedman put it. And so you have to get your sheriff to freely choose that he will support the liberties and the rights and the Constitution, the rights of U.S. citizens, as well as the privileges and immunities within the Constitution. And that way, if he's doing that, then he's doing his job. Because, you know, when they raise that arm to this, you know, that square and say, I, whatever your name is, you know, will support the Constitution for the United States, that means that you support all of it. Any candidate and any group out there that says, we want to know if you're a Second Amendment supporter, anybody that does that is absolutely misleading you. I'm here to tell you, we've got to get away from organizations, or we got to hold organizations, you know, to the reality of the fact that all they're doing is obfuscating, making one point of the Constitution more important than the rest of it. We demand full compliance to the Constitution, period. That's what we have to do. So when we come back, we'll talk more about this. And I'm not even done talking about Biden and his stupid address. But anyway, we'll be right back.
Claiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Okay, so let me just close on this, and we'll cover more of this when I'm really focused on communism of Labor Day and so forth. Actually, I'll be covering some of that today, but what I want to do is I want to cover some other feedback and or other things that I think are, you know, well packaged. We'll address this because it'll give me more time to kind of digest and ruminate on the idiot that the unconstitutional pinhead that was positioned into the White House by Congress. I'm telling you, he is not a president. He was not chosen in accordance to the Constitution. So what he is an implant by an unconstitutional Congress, or I should say by a Congress that basically committed an insurgency, and instead of following the Constitution, they injected him. And everybody was none the wiser because everybody was believing, you know, this the popular vote, the voter fraud, all this other stuff, and they're chasing all these other unicorns, when the reality is Congress had a responsibility to reject the Electoral College. I can't say this enough, and I'll do it right now. On January 6th, when they received the Electoral College votes, they should have put them aside and said, we're sorry, but there's not enough constitutionally appointed electors or elected electors to choose the president. There was only 138. Out of all of the electors that were chosen, 401 were unconstitutionally elected and or chosen. I mean, we got real problems with the Electoral College, and you'll hear me rant on this all the time because we're not even following this. But what we're supposed to, what the Uniparty, what the Democrats and the Republicans kind of agreed upon over the centuries of violating the Constitution, they didn't even abide by that. Because the one thing that they never changed was the state legislators were the only ones that could change the manner in how we are to vote. Which means that when the governors changed that manner, they violated the Constitution. They had to follow, whether they liked it or not, they had to follow it, or they had to call the legislators into session. There are no emergency powers that allow a governor to bypass constitutional requirements, period. It would have behooved of every governor and every jurist to say, we got to follow this. If we don't follow this, then... And we are a Republican form of government, and this is how far we have turned and how far we've tipped. I've got a lot of things to talk about, and so I'm going to be setting the stage regarding communism and this political warfare that we've been dealing with here in America for quite a while. And I've got some evidence and some other things that we've kind of will pull into this. Then we will actually, you know, go piece by piece through Biden as I've ruminated and prepared this for Monday. So you're going to want to tune in on Monday. So as I was saying, and I'll just say this, because I want to emphasize this. You have to understand that this inquisition that they're doing will lead to a crusade. And when I say crusade, just like the crusaders, where they just went in and started killing and burning and everything else, the inquisition was to grab people, pull them out. You know, if they weren't trying, it wasn't all-out warfare. Now, this crusade, when they actually come after people, so we just had an anniversary of Ruby Ridge. I think we had an anniversary of Waco. I mean, some of the terrible things of how government has killed Americans, and wrongfully so, and unconstitutionally. The point is that they have been selling and selling and selling, and they've gotten away with, at least they believe they got away with Ruby Ridge. They got away with Waco. They've gotten away with all of these exercises of tyrannical power and deadly force that they had no authority to do. And so my point is that as they start exercising this crusade, then you will rule the day, because if you're not out and taking control of your local government and then keeping these things from happening, because we could be well on our way to this year and in the next 2 years to controlling our government. And so the jury is, you know, they're still out on trying to determine whether, you know, we have transitioned so far beyond, because the day this microphone is off is the day it's done. I will be working with other people, and if the movement grows that way, then great. But the day this microphone is off is the day we have possibly gone too far, or at least I've been safely removed. And when I say safely removed, they could have come and taken me, hauled me away, or I could have just said, I'm going somewhere else. But I will be in everybody else's eyes, and by the way, you know, if it's not safely, don't believe the suicide note. If they find me or you hear about me being cut up in the refrigerator or the freezer, just don't believe it. Okay. So one of the things I wanted to kind of report is, where are we today with reclaiming the republic? So we have a good footing in Wyoming. There's lots of really good patriots that we're working with, but we just don't have the organization we used to have. We really need to rebuild that organization. South Dakota, we've got a real movement going. We've got actually, we're working with an already existing grassroots organization, and it looks like South Dakota, boom, we're getting positioned. Idaho, we're just now, we finally, for the first time after knocking on Idaho's door for what, 7 years now, for 7 years, I finally have somebody that is going, wow, you know, we want to get on board with this. Georgia, we're dancing in Georgia, but I don't even want to say we're even playing musical chairs. It's just a dance. We need a lot more movement in Georgia. We've got great movement in Missouri. We've got great movement in Montana. We're getting movement in Minnesota, Virginia, Washington State, and California. So right now we're getting movement in 11 states. And we have maybe some movement, or at least some acquaintances, but I don't want to even count it as movement, in 29 states. And so these are the 29 states, and I'm going, you know, what the heck's going on? Like Arizona. I mean, I know some people in Arizona. I've tried to get, you know, things going in Arizona. And I know, you know, with all the different people I do know in Arizona, you know, it's either personal issues, if God has put you into that position with these challenges or what have you, it's not your fault. And I don't even judge you for that. But Arizona, I know more people than other people know. And what I'm trying to say is I can't get good people that I do know to even really start getting engaged and say, I'm going to do something about this. I'm actually going to get organized and get involved. I've got a few people. I mean, Crystal Blessings is, you know, she's been there, but I mean, she can't do this at this point in time. She's not in that health, you know, whatever. I mean, sometimes the planets have to align, and you know what I'm talking about. You have those same problems, but we need to at least start working and trying to find people. Folks, we need to take every moment of the day to try to at least poke people to say, can you do this? Can you please step up? Because we need Thomas Jeffersons in every state. Don't think that a national Thomas Jefferson, don't think the national orange man is going to be able to save America. I'm sorry. Our Constitution isn't written that way. Our Constitution doesn't allow that to happen. So we have to actually get the leadership in states to form and start moving your counties and states to work. So I'm going to be exposing you, because what we're trying to do is create this template, and we're going to try to create a couple of different types of templates that you can kind of look at and go, you know what, let's create a hybrid between these things, because the way it's panning out in a few of the states we're getting movement in, it looks like they may be going in different directions. And it doesn't mean that, you know, there is one or two or three. Who knows? I mean, we could actually, when all said and done, we could actually have, you know, 25 different directions or 30 different directions, you know, where there's a little bit of overlap on, you know, lots of things. But each one of them is unique enough to say, yeah, that's not a model. Like, you know, we don't have a consistent model. And that's what I'm trying to say. But I will say this. I also want to say this, that there are 8 states that I concede that I don't think there's anything we can do for Vermont, Connecticut, Illinois. Now, Illinois actually does have some red areas out there. And I know there's some really good people. It's just trying to get things moving in these 8 states is just really hard. Because why? They have other problems. I mean, Illinois has this death toll, this annual death toll. I mean, they're the champions, because of Chicago, they're the champions of losing people's lives. Maryland, New Jersey, Delaware, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Hawaii. I mean, why would Hawaii be so progressive other than the fact that, I mean, every day's a holiday there? You'd think that patriotism would still be able to flourish or something, but no. I mean, so these 8 states, these eight states are just really hard. But I would concede that Illinois is one of those states that it has enough red counties that Illinois could actually come back. I mean, Illinois could become a red state again. And so all of the other states that I didn't mention, so I think I covered the 11, and I covered the 8. So all the other states, they're absent. Where are they, folks? If you live in one of those states, by all means, you've got our phone number, 425-270-5416. Just leave a message. And in your message, give me your email, or I'll call you back, or somebody will, and we will start, you know, working in helping you, because we need to start establishing petitions and getting organized. Bottom line, it ain't going to happen if you don't do anything. We'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
All right. So, anyway, I could go on and on and on and on about trying to get people moving, but I'm here to help, and I'm not from the government. I would be honored to serve you, and I would be, you know, it's a privilege for me to be able to do this service. And so what I hope is we'll start getting more, but at this point in time, at least I'll just count my blessings. At least we're in 11 states right now, okay? Now, one of the things that I want to go I got to go back because I've had a couple of people ask, because people don't understand classified material. Now, there's all different layers and levels of classification. And bottom line, the person that takes the responsibility for that, and whether Trump had the responsibility or not, he probably didn't. I don't think any of those pieces, I don't think he walked down to the place, the skiff, or the storage facility where all the classified was, because it's got to be in some type of facility, some type of storage area. And so I don't think he's the one that went down to get this stuff. So I think other people had to go get it, and I think other people could have easily left a lot of this stuff behind. And you know what? There could really well be, could have been, you know, nuclear types of the classified that they were looking for could have actually been taken, but it's my assumption that it was probably discovered and destroyed. You know, Sandy Berger destroyed stuff for a deliberate purpose so that the 9/11 Commission would never find out about it. Remember Sandy Berger, that $50,000 fine that he paid? And so, okay, so if Sandy Berger took a classified secret document with Bill Clinton's notations in the margins, and that document just disappears, and because he takes it home and he destroys it, and now we have, and nobody will tell us what was in those margins other than the lieutenant colonel that actually came forward and talked about it. I don't think he's alive anymore. He was Arkansas'd. Yeah, instead of murder, suicide, Arkansas'd, right? Anyway, when you're looking at classified material, there's a great likelihood that Trump had nothing to do with the actual getting, storing, packing. I don't see the man actually packing, but he had the responsibility. Now, here's a big difference. Hillary Clinton was doing things. She was an operative. I don't believe Trump was acting as an operative. However, he has to man up because it happened on his watch. Here's his problem, and I don't see anything changing, and this is why we're going to cover why he really is unelectable, but we'll cover that more after the Constitution Day and the Constitution Month, or however long it takes to cover the Constitution. Because I think that there's more than enough evidence and information to prove that he's not electable. And he's not what America needs. He will not make America great. It's all about a legacy for him. It's all about him. It's like Mark Levin supporting the Convention of States. And the only reason Mark Levin is doing it, because he wrote some amendments that he wants to, you know, be put into the Constitution. And even if they, you know, they feed as a seed to going in as an amendment, this goes down in Mark Levin's legacy of urinating on our Constitution. He will not improve it one bit. And as a matter of fact, I know why he could never improve upon it, because he refuses to talk about what and how America became the greatest government in the world. And so, with that, I'll just say that when we look at classified material, we look at the differences between top secret, secret, confidential, and then you get into SCI, and then you get into SAP, separate access programs, or sensitive controlled information, and I'm trying to remember what the S is. But anyway, these are access programs. So you have to have very specific access to be able to get that type of information. And it's all, you know, created into these little cubbies for very specific reasons. Now, the question is, and most people really have a problem with our intelligence community. Our intelligence community is the best in the world. However, it's doing things that it shouldn't be doing, because the federal government has no power to be able to spy on American people. Now, there's counterintelligence and those types of things, and they do have a counterintelligence role. The problem is that the intelligence gatherers and the counterintelligence is typically done by the same agency, like the CIA. And I'm just telling you that that's not a good thing. And as a matter of fact, I believe that the counterintelligence should really be done by the states and should be done by the militias of the states instead of by the federal government, because we would be better served. Because the counterintelligence, if you look at some of the stuff that they've done, look at what they did to small black communities like the and I forget the terms and so forth, but there were communities where they injected or they took in and infected people with venereal disease, with blacks with venereal disease. They've done all sorts of manipulations and so forth. And I'm going, are you kidding me? That should never have happened, folks. It should never have happened. So the only way we can fix this, and people talk about reparations and so forth, and we'll get into that. I've got something to cover on that. So the point is, moving forward, we have to get the federal government in operating the way it's supposed to, because the way the Constitution is written, unfortunately, even though the federal government is doing stuff, the people. So who do you sue? Who do you go after? Who owes us reparations? The states, because the states are really at fault. It's their fault for not doing this. We all have blame. We all share blame. As a matter of fact, many people that have gravitated from victims have become the, what do you want to call that? The persecutors, the oppressors, the people that are, you know, gaming the system now. And so are you, because they real, oh, well, shoot, you know, best way to do this is to do it to others. And that's what we've got. We've got a terrible, insidious, and downward spiral where we're just, you know, seeking justice and vengeance and justice and reparations and so forth. Bottom line, back to the classified material. There had to have been levels of control and so forth. But Trump has to own this. And as a matter of fact, the smartest thing Trump could do is Trump could basically come right out and say, you know what, this shouldn't have happened. You know, and I didn't touch it. I didn't do any of this, but I've got a lot of people that worked for me that did. But before we even talk about looking into my folks, you better start pulling in people that worked with Nixon. You better start pulling in all these people over all of these past presidents who had classified material. And we need to actually go after Hillary and all these other, I mean, come on. The FBI did, you know, did everything they could for political purposes to not go after Hillary when the whole world saw this. It's the same thing with Hunter Biden and what Hunter Biden had on his laptop. Come on, folks. They want to persecute and go after the orange man, but they don't care about all of the other misjustices and all of the other opportunities that are hanging there. First, it's FIFO. America is based on FIFO. And what the political operatives are doing, first in, first out, that's what FIFO means. And what the political operatives are doing is saying, this is more important because this is now. No. If you really believe it's important, then I agree with you, and we've got to start going after the Clintons. As a matter of fact, Clinton should be tried for treason. Go look at the secrets he sold to China so that he could personally gain. This is all public information, folks. Maybe not the secrets of the national security, but the fact that he sold Loral secrets to China, the fact that he helped enable China in getting out of the El Paso or whatever that nuclear facility was, those hard drives and so forth. Are you kidding me? There's only one outcome. When all the evidence comes forward, there would be only one outcome for Bill Clinton, and that would be Bill Clinton would be doing the perp walk, and likely, if we followed the Constitution, he'd be dangling from the end of a rope. Because that's what he did. That's how treasonous he was. And when we look at all the other, just keep in mind, the people that protested against the whiskey tax in 1792 to 1794, the 24 people that were arrested for treason and the two that were convicted, look at what they did and look at what these political operatives are doing. The people are dying, the oppression, the things that are coming from what these men and women have done. Are you kidding me? They all should actually be charged with treason. They should all be revoked of their citizenships. And I mean, even more, dangling at the end of the rope. And it's that simple. So let me just say this too. When we really look at the big picture, because I kind of talk about this in my first book, that, you know, at the beginning of McCarthy, that was the beginning of the political warfare in America. When McCarthy took a stand to go after communism, he was absolutely right. And as a matter of fact, but they took names. The communists were taking names, and they've come after and have eliminated, and they've put what McCarthy did on steroids here in America. We'll be right back after these two promos for our last segment.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.
Okay, so as I was saying, when McCarthy actually went after the communists, because to be clear, folks, the communists cannot be U.S. citizens. If you're a political activist, it's one thing to have leanings, and it's another thing to start voting for people and actually calling and demanding people do things that are violations of the Constitution. That is completely different. In other words, that's just the same as this protest, the whiskey protest that I talked about in 1792 to 1794, when they said, you can't do this, when this new government formed. And Washington was, his compassion, his bowels were filled with compassion. Why? Because this was a new government, and these people still had to cut their teeth in understanding that this federal government did have some very specific powers, such as the ability to create an excise tax on liquor. And that was how they were going to pay their debts. Okay, well, there you go, folks. However, when we start looking at a person that is actually seeking to undermine and overthrow and calls upon their public servants, I'm not just talking about the public servants willing to do it. When we have citizens that are out in the streets demanding defunding and demanding an overall, this is the insurgency. This is the Bolshevik Revolution, to undo a Republican form of government, to create a democracy. These are the key words that these progressives like to use. And what they're doing is they're feeding the fire. They're feeding the fire with the word games that they play, and they're actually becoming, they've not becoming, they have been acting and have long time become operatives in actually violating an insurrection. They are acting within an insurrection. What do you call that? They're insurgents? There you go. We have politicians who are direct insurgents. Liz Cheney is one. And isn't it funny how that they can sit in this room with, you know, this elevated essence of feeling that they have all the righteousness of what they're doing? And they're pointing their fingers of judgment and indignation towards those who believe they have a right to liberty and a right to these privileges and immunities guaranteed by the Constitution, such as petitioning their government. How dare you? How dare you think that? Folks, we've turned. We turned this corner a long time ago. Like I said, this goes back to McCarthy. This is all political. Everything that we're seeing, it is all being done politically, and it's a part of the political warfare. There are no constitutional positions or counterpositions being launched against them other than what we are doing. So anybody that's been involved with tactical civics, oh, by the way, tactical civics, I just discovered last night, tactical civics actually has lost their 501c whatever they were. And so it's the same thing with our First Right. We weren't a direct supporter, but I I agreed with our first right. And we actually want states to start passing Madison's very first amendment, the first amendment that he put into the Bill of Rights, the one that has never passed. See, our first amendment was not the appropriate, it was, you know, what Madison had was this appropriation formula for maintaining representation. And if you look at how it was going to go and how it was going to pan out, you know, we should actually have somewhere between 6,000 to 7,000 representatives today in the House of Representatives. And anybody that's a naysayer, so let me just address this right now because we're going to run out of time anyway. So if you look at how many people each representative in the House of Representatives employs and gets them to live, because this is the bureaucracy swamp, right? How many people live in D.C.? It's 20 to 25 employees per representative. In other words, you take the 400 and some odd and you times that by 20, there's a lot of folks right there that each one of these representatives actually hire and employ that comes with their budget. We the people pay for that budget for them. So if we actually displace our representatives back to your states, now they're actually going to be able to hire you for, you know, and they won't need 20. They may need one or two, maybe three, however big their legislative district is. But if you look at the legislative districts right now, because it's about a million people, they're huge. Now it's going to be down to 50,000 based on this amendment, and that's basically a part of your town, or maybe your town and a little bit of the outskirts. And that's it. So how hard is this going to be? And then bottom line, your legislative representatives could and should be working out of your county seat. You just create a small little federal office out of your county seat. They don't need to be at the Capitol. Now, you can create a chamber at the Capitol if you want, you know, to form a delegation of your representatives for your state. You have that chamber, absolutely. But that's not where they would operate. And for a little while, and who would fund this? Because the money we would be saving for not feeding the beast of Washington, D.C. Let me be clear here, folks. Washington, D.C. has never had a downturn as far as a housing market in a long, long, long time. Why is that? Why is that? When America, all of America has watched their value of their property go down, D.C. has actually watched it go up consistently on an annual basis. That's got to change. That's the bureaucracy. Most all the buildings and most all the people that are there are there because they're doing unconstitutional work. So anyway, back to this whole thing. This is all political warfare, and we need to start actually demanding full support and understanding these principles. Because if we do, and we understand the principles of a Republican form of government and representation, then you'd actually be on board with actually passing that Madison Amendment of getting your representatives. And by the way, the salaries don't need to be high. And there's lots of things we have to do to fix all of this. But as we do this, because as this movement grows, we will be able to fix it. Because I'm telling you, as we actually pass these amendments, as we do these things like rescinding the 17th Amendment, so you no longer vote for your representative in the Senate, they'll actually represent the state legislature again. If we undo or actually rescind it, it goes back to the original design of the Constitution, then all of a sudden we'll start seeing our government starting to work the way it's supposed to be. Because right now our government is being fueled by a small investment of world billionaires that they've been able to permeate into our system. And then this globalist movement has taken and seized control of our government. And then as we cut them off and we actually be able to pull everything back, we'll actually have full control. We will actually have full control of our government, because the federal government, the House of Representatives, will be controlled literally at the state level, and the Senate, which will work out of Washington, D.C., in working on trade issues and those things that are enumerated, and the states will be left with maintaining everything else. I mean, so there's probably a little bit more that I don't want to marginalize this, but bottom line, folks, getting and draining the swamp, those are nice words. But if you don't have a plan, because sometimes it seems like people just want to change out the creatures in the swamp. I want to get rid of the moisture altogether. I want to get rid of the plant life and the creatures that come along with that moisture, that cesspool. And the best way to do that is to get you to start using First Amendment petitions and getting your neighbors and your community educated and invigorated. Because when you actually point to them, because nobody, you're going to find that no one that you know, other than those who you talk to or those who have listened to this show, even understand what the First Amendment petition is or what its purpose is and how to do it and what you can do with it. Folks, we have an arsenal at our fingertips, and we have the ability to take back our republic. One of the last things I'll probably say is, because the progressives are so, you know, far along in building the swamp has actually extended into our court systems, and it was one of the first things to actually fall. We don't have, and we don't practice common law anymore. We don't have common law courts, and we need to restore those things. And people go, well, how do we do this? First Amendment petitions. You know, whenever I tell you that this is what we've got to do, if the first thing you think of is, well, how do we do this? And you don't think, wow, there's a First Amendment petition. There's a few First Amendment petitions right there. Because that's what we need you to actually start doing. Let me tell you about Second Nature. Second Nature is the process that absolutely happens, you know, where you don't even have to think. You see, if you've played baseball long enough, it's second nature when you're standing at that plate and you see that pitch coming, you know, and it's not going to be over the plate, it's coming towards you, you know exactly what to do. You duck, you dive, you hit the dirt. And so that's second nature. You don't even think about it. You just know that, you know, this guy has a propensity of doing this. And so second nature, you respond when as soon as you see it. We need you to actually start. And we all have to get to this point of practicing or developing that second nature response when we see our government, and when our government is doing things that are wrong. We need to start thinking First Amendment petition and getting people to recognize by using them, by educating and invigorating folks. You have the authority, you have the power as U.S. citizens to using First Amendment petitions and help permeating in your community, help penetrate into your public servants. Your local public servants need to know that you demand that they fully comply. They got to stop cherry picking. They got to stop making compromises. They've got to stop playing with your liberty and your sovereignty. And so this is how we use First Amendment petitions. And just imagine, you know, locking arms and walking forward as a mass in on the principles, just the same principles that our framers used on individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And in so doing, you will actually be moving. This is the collective conscience I was talking about. That as so, you'll be able to start moving forward this beautiful republic and restoring it. But we have to do this at the local level. This is why it is paramount that we actually identify very specifically, we have to go after our, what we call our public servants in the county commissioners, the sheriffs, and so forth. Folks, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.